1. And I want to just draw your attention to the first three words. O foolish Galatians. The word for foolish is that you're insane, that you've lost your mind. And noetai, and nuetai, and noetai, it means a in Greek, if it's in front of it, the prefix, it means the opposite of whatever the verb is, or whatever the noun is, or whatever the adjective is, and so on. So anoetoi comes from the word nous, your mind, your ability to think and to understand. And so, oh, Galatians who no longer are thinking correctly, you've got insane. You've been persuaded by witchcraft to go back. Having started out in the spirit, you've gone back to the flesh. So a lot of Christians today who really were born again, I mean, they actually believed that they weren't God and that they were sinful and that Jesus died for them and rose for them and coming back. But they forgot. They put their hand to the plow, and then when they got down the field a bit, they turned back. They turned back. They were holding on to the oxen, and all of a sudden they turned like this to look back. And when you turn your head and you're holding the oxen this way, you can't help but move the oxen, and they're just going to go wherever the reins move them. And so they went back to legalism. They went back to license, chair 1 and 2. So they went back to their sinful life. Yet they were Christians. How many know that Christians still can get tempted and fall back into sin? And it's like, what's wrong with you? What happened to your mind? I mean, you're out of your mind. You're no longer thinking right. The toy on the end is plural, and the at the beginning, anoetoi, is from you're not thinking as a group anymore. You, oh, foolish Galatians, plural. So that is the problem in the church, that a lot of Christians today, and they really were born again, they really repented. They actually got to know that Jesus is my hope, he's my righteousness, and I didn't do a thing. It's a free gift. Hallelujah. Now, what happened is that they got to chair 4, but they did not want to go to chair 5. For some reason, they didn't want their flesh to die. And they didn't want to see sin anymore. Hey, well, I'm forgiven for my sin. I don't want to get rid of it. I want to keep it. And most Christians do not work daily, every single day, to get rid of any kind of control that sin might have on you. You don't want to overthrow it. And what is it? It's you. You see, he forgave your sin, that is your behavior, and so on and so forth. But that wasn't your problem. Your biggest problem was not that you did a sin or were self-righteous or something. That's not your problem. Your problem is not that you sinned, you forgave that. Your problem was that you didn't know how good God was. He knew that the real problem of you is not that you sinned and so you can't go to heaven or something. Sin doesn't keep you out of heaven. It's not sin that makes you go to hell. Sin doesn't send you to hell. What sends you to heaven or avoids hell is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason you don't have faith is because you don't know how good he is. And that's a pastor's fault. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. God will never put the fault on you. The fault is that the minister who was to tell you that good news didn't know it himself clearly and persist in staying there because he wanted to be, paid and liked. But I'm not like that. I don't care if I get paid or liked at all. I want to tell you the good news. God is good. I mean, it's personal with me. It's so personal that it's my whole life. I'm kind of like Chad, no good. Until Jesus found me and said, no, I took care of that. And I believed. I went from living a dark, no good life to total in love with Jesus life. I didn't do that. I had nothing to do with that. That was passive. I had nothing to do with that. He just loved me as well. And I believed it. I didn't believe it at first, but then one day I did. And it wasn't because we've thought about, did I do something? No, I didn't do anything different. But you know what I did do? I know what I did do. It wasn't because I was terrorized because of sin or I was unhappy or, you know, whatever. It was just that I read the Bible. Just I didn't care if I was doing it in the spirit or in the flesh. I just read the Bible. I didn't do it to be a Christian or stay a Christian or increase my better husband, better wife, as though Christianity, the only purpose of it is to make you a better person. I didn't do it to be better. I didn't do it to get nicer, be a better husband, be a better father, be a better pastor, be a better person. I didn't want to be a better person or a pastor or anything. I just believed Jesus Christ loved me as I was, a rotten, no good person. And I was a chair one. I had no two in me. I had no two in me. And that's not an advantage. It's just a fact. It's just a fact. And so I was a rotten person. I always was rotten. I always liked being rotten. I enjoyed rotten. And I enjoyed hurting other people. I didn't care about them. And I don't even to this day. I don't have any warmth in me, any love in me, any care in me at all. Anything good comes out of me, that was Jesus. Yeah. That was total Jesus. Because I'm just, I don't know, I've just never cared about lying and cheating at all. I loved it. I loved doing that stuff. And I loved taking advantage of people. Even today, I still think of, my first thoughts are not Jesus. My first thoughts are, what a jerk you are. That's my first thought. What a fool you are. I wish you were great like me. You know, I have all kinds of awful thoughts. Does anybody else have those kind of awful thoughts? I mean, I don't have the Christian thoughts at all. That's not my first thought. It comes to me that, you know, I just want you to worship me. That's all. That's all I'm asking. Just worship me. Isn't that awful? Don't you think that's funny? So I shouldn't be a pastor for sure. I'm totally a joke. It's a total joke. You should not be a pastor. But the problem is that I fell in love with Jesus, who did love me as I was. Not as I ought to be. I'm just flat naked. There's nothing to hide. There's nothing going any good. I didn't try to be better. I've never wanted to be better. I love being me. And all God was after was not my behavior. He was not after me changing and being better behaving. He was only after me being deader. Dead. I want you dead every day. So every day I have to go to chair five. Every day I have to go again because that's the only thing that kills the flesh. Every day it's His love. It's His goodness. It's His greatness. You know why I read the Bible? I didn't read it because it was my job. I read the Bible because it was good news. It was good news. I couldn't believe that God would be so foolish as to love me, care for me, search me out. I wouldn't have pursued me at all. If I meet someone like me, I'd hate them right off. I just hate them. Because they're liars and thieves and whatever else. I'm just telling you, I'm totally comfortable with rotten people because I am. So, and with self-righteous people, that just amazes me. I just laugh when I'm a phony person or someone who's not doing what the Bible says literally. It's just whatever it says, that's it. That's who I am. That's not what I did. That's not what I felt. That's what I thought. I don't work on that. Because He said, He that began a good work in you, I, Jesus said, will surely complete. So I'm not worried about how it completes. I'm already enjoying the complete that I haven't seen. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
This is hard to preach. This is hard to preach. You don't have big crowds when you preach this kind of nonsense. But I love it. I love it. For me, this is the best church to be in. Because I love it. It's so good. Because it's so ridiculous. It's so opposite to everything this world has to offer. And so my story is an interesting, my testimony. Oh. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. That was always Peggy's job. Fix that. Fix that. Take care of that. That baby's crying. Get to that baby. It's making too much noise. Fix it up. Shove a pillow over that baby or something. Do something. Take care of that. So I was not much of a Christian. And Peggy noticed that. She noticed that I was not bearing a lot of fruit. Amen? And so, but I've never been into fruit. I've never. And you know what I found in the Bible? It said that Jesus is the tree, not me. Jesus is the tree, not me. I'm just a branch, right? I was not a branch laying on the ground and I jumped into the tree. I wasn't like that. God the Father, grafted me in, cut me, then stuck me in. And then I never looked to see how much fruit I was producing. I only looked at the thing I'm stuck in. It's like, this Jesus loves me. And all the nutrients, all the good things that he wanted for me, that amazed me every day. I never took my eyes off of him. From the day I met him to this day, I'm still in love. Totally same. I didn't grow in it or decrease in it. I'm just still amazed as though it was yesterday. And I remember the day, the hour. I remember exactly where I was and so on. And how I lived prior to that, completely wretched, selfish, nasty, so on and so forth. And I remember the day that I became a believer and I believed I believed I was perfect because of his promise, not because of my sight, not because I saw it, not because I looked like it, not because I never looked at my fruit. How many people are you running or how many buses do you have? Or I didn't look at any of that stuff. I didn't care about it. I'm in love and I just wanted to, I can take the Bible and make everything good news. You can show me the most horrible verses and I can turn them to good. I can, because I twist everything to my favor. That's what I got out of that tree, that vine, that base, that trunk. I got it that he loves me just as I was. I've never forgotten that. Why? Because I've never changed. I've never tried to change. Any change that took place, that was just Jesus. I never thought, I am now getting better. I've improved. The whole world today, Obama is a progressive. Hillary, another progressive. They believe in progress. I don't. I believe man is exactly today as he was in the Garden of Eden. And he hadn't changed one whit. He's not happier today than he was then. He's not more miserable than he was. He's still the same, miserable today. So I don't believe in people changing and getting better without God. I believe only the tree. That's all that counts. Where's the tree that that God put you into by his promise? And he did. He made this promise. He made this promise with Abraham. He made a deal with him and said, you know, I will seven times. I counted them. And I noticed that those seven promises, he's never given more. Jesus is in that promise. Jesus is part of that promise. And that Jesus would declare that through his blood. He would then make the covenant that I never made and couldn't make and don't want to make. I never made a sacrifice. I never made any offering to God. God, here I am. I'm awesome. I never made that because I knew I wasn't. I was poor, white, Irish trash, period. And we grew up without plumbing and all that stuff. I've said that a lot. But the point is, I never thought I was a good person. I never wanted to be a good person. I just was what I was. Naked. I'm naked. I have no problem saying all my sins. It's just that it would harm you if I did. So I don't need to explain them in detail. If you want to get that, Peggy has a pretty good list. And so on and so forth. But I never cared that Peggy loved me or didn't love me. I never cared about anybody helping me or whatever. I've never felt sorry for myself or whatever. You are what you are. Without any apology, you are naked. And before God, I knew that day that God loved me, not because I was good, not because I was improvable, but because God could destroy me. So God's ability to destroy me, I couldn't help him in that. I'm not going to help destroy myself. So if you want me to be good, you'd have to kill myself, Jim. You'd have to kill Jim. Do you all understand what I just said? So the problem is not that I sinned or didn't sin. I knew how to fake it. So I know a lot of Christians are just fakes, number two. They're just faking it. They're not really born again and in love with him. But that's okay. I don't care about that. That doesn't bother me. We probably have a hypocrite in this church. It might even be two or three. I wouldn't be interested in that. I'm not interested. As far as I'm concerned, I assume everybody's wicked and so on and so forth. And then I assumed everybody's born again. And so if you're not, I'll find out sooner or later because you'll misbehave. And then I'll wonder, you know, well, are you really a Christian? Because you don't look mature. You don't look like you're a lover yet. you look like you still care about yourself. So you can call yourself a Christian four all day long, but if you didn't go through five, you can't be in six. A lover is someone who went through hell and rejoiced. A lover is someone who went through the fire and said, I needed that. That killed my flesh. Not just one day, every day, every day, every day. And so you know when you meet a Christian, it's real. Why? Because you can't shake them. You can't change them. Once the gold or the silver has gone through the furnace seven times, you can't do anymore. It's perfect. It's gone through. So Jesus, who did that for me, and now is doing it in me and through me through the Spirit, that Jesus is my righteousness, my only righteousness. I never had any. I was a dead branch lying on the ground producing nothing. And I've never hidden that from myself, or did I care about other people knowing that I was or I wasn't. It's just like, well, too bad. Peggy one day said, do you love me? No. It just didn't take me 3 seconds to think about that. In a nanosecond, no. I mean, you seem to be wanting something out of me that I can't produce. Love, I'm not into love. If you married me for love, you just got deceived, fooled, disillusioned. I'm not good at that. How many know that men in general, this is just a joke, of course, but men in general aren't very good at keeping the thing going? How many know that they make promises that they never keep? That to me is just normal. The mafia background that I have and so on, just like, I don't know. I don't think it's a blood thing or anything like that. It's just, I don't know. I just grew up among those kind of people and they were rotten to the core. And my original father, he was a one-night stand with my mom. And grandmother, to help mom out, said, get rid of the little piece of junk, just get rid of him. So I was never loved, never wanted to be loved, never cared about being loved, thought about it. It just wasn't a reality in my family. My Uncle Duke, it wasn't his name was Lewis, but I didn't know that. All of us kids didn't know it. Nobody ever called him anything but Uncle Duke. Well, that's an Irish Duke, which means mafia. So he was the head in the Chicago gang. He was of the Irish mafia. He was the head, one of the big guys, a Duke. But I didn't know that. I just knew he was a jerk. I never could figure out who my cousins were because he was always remarrying all the time because he'd just see somebody and mess around and so on. So I had a new cousin. Well, is Gloria, when it was, that was one of them that I remembered. Is Gloria going to be there? No, he got rid of her. He's with so-and-so. Okay. And so I always knew that's what he did, but I didn't think about it as a little kid. You just, I like Gloria. I was hoping I'd see her. All I'm trying to say is God loved me. And I heard that. I had the head knowledge. I went to seminary. I cheated and lied and stole and so on. And I got there. Once I got there, one day God visited. One day God visited, spoke in the second window. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I'm nothing but vanity. I mean, so that was not a new, that would not be a revelation from God that I was vanity. It was in the Bible. I read that. You have to read the Bible every once in a while at Yale to get through. But as far as I know, nobody read it more than a couple of times to put a footnote in some paper. But the truth is, you could go through Yale 125 years, because we calculated this, and never read the Bible and still graduate as a pastor. That's kind of amazing. That's how many courses were offered you. In the normal seminary, you have 5 courses each year, and they're all prescribed, and you have no electives. You have no choices, but not at Yale or Harvard or those schools. You could just go there forever and ever. You could do poetry. You could do anything you want to, and I did. I just did anything I wanted to do. And so the Bible was not a reality for me, just like it isn't for Obama. It's not the book. It's not his life. He is not in love with Jesus with all his heart and soul and strength. Now, was he a Christian? I don't know. I don't care. I just know his behavior and all that he does, looking at it, doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like he's Christian. It looks like something else. But so what? I don't care. He's just like I am, Chicago. He's just like I am, Chicago. The Chicago is all mafia. It's all crooked. It's all corrupt, especially Chicago itself. The rest of the state may be different, but not that particular city. And so that's the way it is. Now, I say all this just to, I'm not interested in myself. I'm only saying this to set you free, to say, I know one thing. When God said that, he was destroying my noose, my mind. I mean, I was at Yale for only one reason, so I could do bulletin covers for churches, and I just wanted to be able to paint them, and I thought, well, what do you know about God? Nothing, because it's all just, you know, intellect for me. What do you know about God? Nothing. Okay, where should you go? I don't know, Harvard, Yale, whatever. Learn about God. Go to some seminary somewhere and learn about God. So I was only there for the knowledge so I could be awesome and make a lot of money. And that was my goal in life, my whole goal in life. It came at a certain point when I met somebody. They did that, and they made a lot of money, more than my dad. And I thought, that's what I want to be. I want to be that. I want to be awesome and great and, you know, rich. I mean, that's the biggest thing in America. How many know that America is run by dollars? And everybody, Trump and everybody, they just want to get as many dollars as they can, however they get them. And it doesn't matter how nice they look and so on. They really want that money. And it says the love of money is the root, or a root anyway. It's the root of evil. And that was me. Why? Because that makes the self feel more important than you ought to think. That's all. You can make more choices and get them done. That's why Trump is so confident. He's like me. I can tell he's very similar to me. I'm surprised he didn't grow up in the neighborhood I grew up in, because he sounds just like an idiot and liar like me. But he's honest about it. He doesn't hide it any more than I did. There it is. It's no good. Naked. I love naked. I love naked. I can always tell when someone's naked. He's naked. Ted Cruz, I never am sure about it. I don't think he's naked. I think he's always going to say the right thing, do the right thing, and so on. He'd make a great president. But the truth is, I don't think he's naked. You know, he doesn't laugh a lot at himself. He doesn't laugh a lot. You know, he's very serious. Always arguing and trying to win and so on and so forth. And that's great, but it's kind of like transparent to me is, you are proud. Whereas Trump, though he's proud, he just says, yeah, I'm proud. I stole that and did that. I used the system and so on and so forth. I had a lot of wives and all that. And, you know, he doesn't hide anything. That's the way I am. And I'm just telling you, there's a lot of people like me out there. Maybe I'm severe. It doesn't matter because I don't really care. I don't care about that stuff. But what I do care about is that God wrote in his Bible some good news, and I never saw it as good, because as I read it, I couldn't see what was good for me personally. How does that help me? You know, I'd rather do something else where I could make a lot of money, be famous, be great, be awesome, and so on. But, you know, I don't know what that is yet. So I'm just going to keep doing this until I decide not to. I'll do something else. But when I met Jesus Christ that day, right there, speaking through the window, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, I knew it went into my heart. It did not go into my noose, my head. And the only reason I was there was to get knowledge. Because I knew if you could get more degrees and more knowledge than anybody else, you would be great. And so I want to go to the best school in the world. I could have gone to Heidelberg, Germany. I could have gone to Aberdeen, Scotland. I had scholarships everywhere that I wanted to go. So Harvard was the best place to go, perhaps. But I didn't like Harvard. I just went there and, you know, if I don't like it, I don't like it. You know, that's it. It's too cold academically. It seemed like, you know, like a factory or something. I'm a warmer, bohemian type person that, you know, I like things to feel good and, you know, just so on and so forth. So that's it. Now, is there anyone else here? Liketh unto me. Anyone who wants everything to go your way. Not some things, everything. It's just, I'll take everything I can get and I'll steal it if you don't give it to me. So it doesn't matter. I'm going to get there. Well, and I didn't care if I won. I didn't care if I made it or not. I didn't care if I died along the way. It's just that was my goal, which, you know what, is the goal of everybody. Everybody who lives in this world doesn't love God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Nobody wanted to please God. Nobody woke up out of the out of the womb, I want to please God. No, there's no little kid ever that thought that's my goal in life. You have to beat that into them. Jesus is everything. You know, read the scripture. So you have to make them want to love your sister. So you kind of train them that way. And we did. We had music going all the time, and we had signs all over the house, Jesus, and on the front door, Jesus is Lord. Point that out to the little kid. You see that? Jesus is Lord here. And then little kids are okay. You know, but that'll work till about 4 or 5 or 6 or maybe 11 if you're really rigorous. I'm not rigorous at anything, so it's not going to work. But anyway, I knew when Cara was born, I went to the botanic gardens. I saw her. She looked kind of ugly-ish, but you know, I saw her. That's my little kid. Because she was all scrunched up like this. You know, she had probably scratched herself or whatever. So it didn't look pretty to me at all. But anyway. So I went there and I said, God, you know, I don't believe in you. And it was all snow on the ground and so on. And then I said, but even though you may or may not be there, I'm going to give this girl back to you because I don't know why. I don't know where I get the idea. Maybe because I'm a pastor or something. But I don't think this is my child to raise. So I'm going to put her back on the altar. You know, I must have seen somebody do this. So I put her on the altar with my hands. And I said, because this little girl is going to love me because I'm a phony, I'm a fake, and she'll just love me. Because, you know, little kids, they don't know anything. And so she'll love me, and I'll play with her or whatever, and she'll just like me. But then she's going to notice, she's going to watch me at every move I make, and she'll figure out by the time she's 2 or 3 or 4 that I'm a phony and a liar and a fake. I mean, she'll just see it because I'm not that good about hiding my sins. I'm not that good. And she's bound to catch me because she loves me. She will love me, and then she'll be hurt, disappointed, and she'll find out what I'm really like. And Mom will help her or whatever, but she's going to find out because Mom will look sad or something. She'll, Mom, why are you sad? Daddy's home, you know, whatever. And she'll just figure it out. Because little kids are great. They just, oh, Grandpa Jim, and oh, Daddy's here, and you know, so on. They don't know anything. They don't know that I'm a liar and a thief. They don't know that I'm cheating and a phony and a fake. And so I said, I think that's wrong, and you put her in my care here, but that's not smart on your part. So I'm giving her back. Anything goes wrong with her, it's your fault. And so I'm not taking responsibility because I know who I am, and I know I'm not a good person. I'm a one. I've never been decent, kind, nice. And if I did it for a few minutes, it was just to fake somebody out because sooner or later, I will just be myself. Now, what I read in the Bible, I didn't disbelieve. I thought it sounded good, but it wasn't personal to me. I don't want that. Even though that voice came in the window and said, I'm vain, I was only after knowledge. What this voice said to me was, knowledge is not truth or God. So all the psychological stuff, which was psychology is like baptism. It's for an individual to behave. It makes you a new person, a better person. Sociology is like church. It's kind of a group thing where you all can do it together. So we got one sacrament of baptism, the other sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Psychology, sociology are the new man-made, humanistic substitutes for that. I saw that in school. Because again, I'm totally objective. Why? Because I don't have any subjectivity to myself. I'm whatever I need to be in every given moment. I just reinvent myself all the time. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about the scripture. Why they were fools. And the first thought that came to my head when he said, vanity of vanities, and I realized nobody else heard that, the first thought as I stood up in my seat to go out in the hall because class was over was, you will be a hypocrite. I knew it. You will be, the people you've judged your whole life as a pagan, you will be just like those hypocrite Christians, chair two. You are chair two. And I thought, no, I'm not. I'm not like that. He said, you will be, and I knew it. I will be. I'm going to betray God. So don't go any further, even though that was God, whom you don't believe in. That was God. It spoke right to me, devastated me, went right into my heart. And I realized I've got, and took 7 years to do this. I got to Texas. It took me 7 years to get to Texas. I got here because I knew if there were a Christian somewhere among those goat ropers and hypocrites, there might be Baptist or Pentecostal. I'll find them in Texas. I knew I got to get out of Chicago. I got to get to New York, New Haven. I got to get out of the Yankee land. I got to go down there because they're crazy people. They love Jesus. They're the belt of the Bible. You know, they know the buckle on the belt kind of thing or whatever. So I'm going down there among those goat ropers, and I'll just sift through them until I find, is there one real person down there that really loves Jesus? Because I'll go anywhere in the world to find them. I want to know where they are, because I know it's not me. I am not a Christian. I'm not anything like what the Bible wants. I'm the opposite. I am completely bewitched and bedeviled by this world. I want everything it's got. I believe there's life somewhere in this world, and I'm going to get it. But how many know there isn't? That's why the vanity of vanities destroyed my confidence in science, my confidence in the mind. And yet, that's the only reason I went. That's the only reason. I used to go to Harvard also, because it's not very far away. You just drive up there, and they have courses there, same thing, same professors, and we traded back and forth and so on. So I know if the mind is anything, I ain't going to get there. So this has nothing to do with learning. And all these degrees, because I had already a couple of degrees, you know, from the college, and then now I was getting one at Yale, and I was going to get another one, and I was going to keep going until I had 7, because I wanted to be the smartest man ever so you could get paid more, because you got big words that you use. You can use it in Latin or Greek or Hebrew, and people are just impressed with that, and they pay you more. And so that was it. It wasn't very deep. It was just shallow. I just want to be awesome. I want to be second to the Antichrist if there was such a job. I want the Antichrist emperor of the world position. Anybody else have those kind of ambitions? I know teenagers do. I am Alice, the wonderful, the beautiful. You know, I am Ted, the basketball, football, you know, whatever. And so everybody, when they're little, they want to be greater. They don't want to be a nothing. They want to be something. And that's what I want. I want that. I mean, it's embarrassing to say it, but we're all very self-oriented. We're totally into ourselves. There is no God. You are the only God you know, right? That's self-deification. So with all this learning that I had, degree after degree after degree, I know that it's all fake. I know there's nothing real to it. So when I come down here, that's what God, you know, he wants to stop me. And he said, Jim, the problem is not that you get to chair 4. The problem is that when you get to chair 3 and you repent of your sins in chair 1, because you don't repent of chair 2, that you repent of your sins, that doesn't kill any sin. That doesn't kill the self. That doesn't kill the one that produced those sins. And so the problem is chair 5 kills the self, but chair 3 only forgives the sin but doesn't get rid of it. Because you produced it, it has to kill you to get rid of the sin. Well, I don't want to be perfect. I just want to be forgiven. I don't want to stop sinning. I like sinning. I enjoy sinning. I want to keep sinning. And I did as a pastor. I still lied, cheated, steal. But you didn't know it. Nobody knew it because, you know, people are thinking a pastor is a good person or something. And too bad for them. Right? I mean, I could tell you story after story after story that I still was a total pagan. And Peggy knew it, and she kept saying, where's the fruit? Well, Jesus, it's all by faith, you know. And I had a lot of scriptures and so on, because she can't challenge me because I have all this learning and knowledge. How many know pastors with all their learning and knowledge can fool and deceive the people? That they're taking them on all the way, because all the way for them, most of them, is just 4. And even if they try to disciple somebody, it's just kind of a fellowship thing where you get more members. You know, it's not really maturity that the pastors are after. No pastor even has his church set up to disciple and kill and break the men. It's very hard because churches don't teach that. They just teach behave yourself, so most men stay out of church to avoid that. As soon as you know, the men know, I don't want to go to church because they're preaching stuff that I'm not living, so I'm not going to go. I don't want to go. And so, but women, they're more like, yeah, well, I take care of little kids and stuff, and I want to, you know, this thing should be real for them. At least let's fool them for a few years. I mean, you know, women also sin, especially if you're in a woman's group. I'm just telling you. Because when they get real back in the kitchen or wherever they are, they can do some really, really bad stuff and tear people down and, you know, oh, God, help so-and-so, you know, he's a whoremonger and so on. They can do they can do wretched things. Anyway, my point is this, that all have sinned and fallen short. No male and female thing. It's not a deal all. But anyway, so I knew if science isn't real, because it's man-made, it's man at his best. Man at his best state is going to use any kind of excuse to say, I want what I want, but I better hide that. So they put that under some justification. So they learn how to justify whatever they do by, like, staying away. At least men stay away. And that's good. That's good. It's hard to get a man, Chad. It's hard to get a man that wants to be destroyed. They're proud. Mm-hmm. And they're also very well aware of how far short they are of God's perfect, number six. Because number seven is where you go if you're perfect. And how do you get to six through five? But how do you get to five? You have to be four first. So four is so you're born again, born of the Spirit. Then you're filled with the Spirit. And then you're led of the Spirit. So four, five, and six are a process of salvation. It's not a one-time event. Four, it's over. It's a process. It's a procedure. And it starts every day, every day, every day, every day. Every day you have to do five again. And then do five again. Then do five again. But trying to get you to six, because when you're dead, seven times like gold and silver, then you're finally pure. You're finally sin. Now, it doesn't mean sin is gone. How many know that even mature Christians still sin? So here's your mature system where everyone here should be a mature system. Every man mature in Christ. So every man, it's hiding. There we are. Every man be a lover. Now, when you're a lover of God and you don't love sin anymore, because you reckon yourself dead unto sin and alive unto God in Christ Jesus. When you're a lover, you actually do love and you know it's God. You know it's not you. You know it's God. Why? Because you died in five. So if you don't die in five, you can't be resurrected in six. And know him and the power of his resurrection every day, every day. I die daily, every day, every day. So five is every day. Four is one time. You can become a Christian born. You can be born one time. But if you're born twice, you only die once, biologically. But you never die the second death. But if you are born once, then, of course, you're going to die twice. So the new birth, four, is wonderful, but it's not so wonderful that it doesn't lead to somewhere. It's a means to an end. It's not the end. Four, being justified by faith, is not removing sin. Five doesn't remove the sin. You don't get better, you get deader. So the deader you get every day, die daily, die daily, die daily, die daily. How do you do that? By reading again how good the contract is, how good the covenant is, how good that Bible is. If you don't read your Bible daily, if you don't read it and see a new sin every day, you didn't read it. It has to be so good that you realize nothing that you do or don't do counts at all. It's only if you're dead or alive every day. So God is seeking every day to crucify your flesh, every day to crucify your flesh. Now, how many are, and don't answer it, but how many are dead every day? And I would say most of you are learning to do that on a daily basis. Why? Because it's good news. You don't die because it's bad news. You die because it's good news, and you realize you are not Christ-like yet. This is not, we're not reaching this, a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. No blemish, no stain, no uncleanness, no impurity rules you. Now, again, there's sin, but you immediately confess it by the Holy Spirit, convicting you in five until it's dead, so that in six, you're now a new creation and you love God and you love your neighbor as yourself. And it shows up and people know that. Now, everybody here, I pray, everybody here has had some kind of experience of a living God, enough to get to four. And some kind of experience after that, that was God. And it kind of amazes you. But one of the things that happens in chair five is you go like this. You know what? I don't know who I am. I don't know how evil I am. I am a lot more evil. I'm almost like Pastor Jim. Because there comes a day when you realize you're exactly like me. You're exactly like me. And Chad, I consider you an ally.
Always.
This is a very bad man. Very. Extremely bad. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yes. But anyway. But I love it. Because as an ally, it's good. Because the only way you make it is if you die every day. Because if you don't, if you're not in the Word every day, if you're not reading and praising and so on and so forth, you're going to go right back. You will go back to 1 and 2. So self-righteousness is 100 billion times worse than 1. 1, there's no advantage here, but 1 is very easy to do. Anybody can do it. But 2, you have some pride there. 1 has no pride. I just tell you right now, nobody that's a whoremonger has pride. I am the best whore in the room. No, you don't have it. I murder better than anyone else. You know, the people that do bad things openly, obviously, as I did, consciously, knowingly, and deliberately, and had no thought that I could be good, or I ought to be good, or I should be good. You don't have that when you're 1. So 2 is hard. Jesus said it's harder. It's hard for a 2 to repent. They can't. Now, they could admit that they sinned, but they don't. They actually aren't convicted by the Holy Spirit that it's evil. I mean, with exceeding righteousness, exceeding sin. Sin becomes exceeding sinful when the Holy Spirit shows you that 4 is not sufficient. 4 is not sufficient. The reason you repented of 1 and 2 is not to go back to it, but 2 is not Christianity. You did not, you were a sinner and now you're moral, or now you're religious, or now you go to church, or now you've gotten better. This is just pure appearance. There's no reality to 2. And it does not destroy sin. It only forgives it because of the blood of Jesus. So I repent of 1. That could be a real repentance, but it depends on the pastor and the church you go to, whether it ever goes anywhere. Because most pastors only go for this. They go for a lukewarm church where the person espouses, professes Jesus, but actually doesn't go, grow. It doesn't grow. So if you don't go on to 5, you won't get to 6. So most churches never go any further than 4. And then if you don't go any further, you will absolutely fall back to 1 or to 2, back to self-righteousness or back to complete wickedness. Now, what God wants is to produce on earth right now, before he comes back, a church without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. So you're fortunate that I want to kill the men. I don't want to kill the women. I want to kill all the men because men are the problem. Obo? Okay, it's good. Chad, Danny, you still have a little bit of sin.
Just a teeny weeny bit.
Because you're one of our elders now, so you can't have a lot. Paul. Marty, I don't know you that well, but I just a suspicion that all ain't dead yet, right? Nick, etc. Now, David, I'm very impressed with you that you confess your sin readily. You do, but you still have a few kept secret little sins. Now, it's fun for me to do that because, hey, it happened to me. I want it to happen to you. I went totally from black to white, meaning I was totally in the devil, totally in Jesus. But it was total. And I knew from the minute I read it, it made no sense to me. My mind could not grasp it, my noose, my mind. So when it says, oh, foolish Galatians, it's talking about you were bewitched. Okay? So ebaskene is the word for bewitchment. You've lost your mind. So that word for foolish is really you don't know anything. You are not wise. You are a fool because you're going right back to your vomit. You're going right back. That dog vomited, went back, and then ate it up again. Look, how foolish. Once you get set free in Jesus Christ, why don't you want to keep going all the way until you are spirit, soul, body, complete in him? Because that's the only one he's coming back for, chair 6. Not coming back for a 5 or a 4. Those are means to an end. The end is right here. a new man in Christ, a righteous woman or man in Christ Jesus. Now, pastors don't teach this because it's very hard to get people to go through chair five. It doesn't work. And that's one reason why you're going to stay small. We'll stay small for a long time until we get Chad killed. And once we get Chad killed, then others will know they're next, because it's going to take a while. I just started with Chad, so I'm not starting with you. Start with somebody further along. Did you know that all are the same? We're all the same. We're all the same. Well, I'm sorry. Everybody's the same. No. Because God loves you, not me. Because God loves you, not me. He loved me enough to kill me, which means I want to put you through this furnace until you're dead, 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 dead. And then, only then, can you be worth anything when you no longer are God. You have to kill off that selfish self so that you are no longer a self. And once you do that, that's your Jordan River. Once you cross over the Jordan River, that's a death river. Once you die, you no longer then are in a wilderness, because no longer does it matter. You know why? Because here's the good news. God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Therefore, I didn't need to ever look again. I didn't need to know anything or be anything or see anything or say whatever. It doesn't matter, because I have a God who made heaven and earth. And he's wise, and he's smart, and he's strong, and he's everything you could want. And once you see that, not just a glimpse of it, but once you see it to the depth, you're going to be dead in every way to this world. The world, the flesh, the devil, but the only one that counts, forget the devil, forget the world. It's the flesh. That's what needs to die. The devil's gone then. The devil can only get to you if you keep your flesh. So that one in that world, the flesh, that's the flesh. That's what God is after, to crucify every day your flesh, chair five. So every day, this is the only chair that matters. And I know you still believe in Jesus. You could go back to all your sins. That doesn't mean you don't believe in Jesus. He could still forgive you for your sin, but you're not going to be confessing your sin every day, because it gets tiring, especially when you're doing it. Because you realize, well, I'm not a Christian. And it's easy then for the devil to snare you and keep you in that. So now I want to tell you, skip all that. The book of Galatians is written to a people that were Christians, real Christians. But Paul saw that they were fools, because though they got born again, their pastors, their local pastors, were not taking them on to five. They resisted that. They wanted to be believers and still then fool around with the world. That's lukewarmness. So you've been bewitched to go back to, and then you hide it, and you learn to hide it, and you learn to hide it. And as I said, most men just drop out at a certain point if they lose their job or whatever, because their whole thing was pride. Their whole thing is, you know, how great I am and so on. So they don't want to get all their sins out. There aren't a lot of sins. There aren't a lot of sins. There's only seven mafia heads, right? Pride, anger, lust, fear, envy, doubt, self-pity. Those seven I kill every day. You got to kill them every day, because every day you could get pride again. How many know that you could be proud again the next day for having humbled yourself the day before? You could become proud of it, and so pride's back. And so you have to kill pride every day, and you have to kill envy every day, and you have to kill self-pity every day, and so on and so forth. And you can't say, well, thank God I only have two of those. No, you have all seven. Every day those things have to die again and again and again. And all their cousins and all their relatives. So there's all kinds of, you know, other sins that could come up, you know, ancestry and all this kind of stuff, and demons and all that. But those are not the mafia heads. These are the mafia heads. Whether they're spirits or sins is irrelevant. We can cast out devils all day long, but they'll come right back. So what God wants is to bring you all the way to Christ. That's your goal. That's your purpose. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You began in the Spirit, chair 4. But you now have ended, and trying to perfect yourself, you are trying to do it, because you are not dead, chair 5. And therefore, since you won't go on, you will go back. You've been bewitched. Your mind, you've lost your mind. You're insane. You're not thinking right. Why would he use such strong language? Because he's not trying to give them bad news. He's trying to tell them why you're not going to make it. It's just a fact. Wages of sin, death. He's talking about eternal. Wages of sin, second death. Not talking about biological death. He's talking about death to the, because you didn't die to your world, flesh, and devil self. So therefore, you're going to still be subject, and therefore the wages of sin, God can't change it. God can't change it. It's just the way it is, that he can't take an unclean bride to himself for marriage forever and ever and ever. So he's coming back for this bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing, only if you go through this. Only if you go through this. This is the greatest chair up here, is chair 5. I want to suffer with him so that I might be glorified with him. And he's talking about your psychological death. That's why psychology, I learned, because I took psychology, and I realized it was a lie. I realized it was not scientific, and I realized it was just a mental game, pure game. They put little charts up and all kinds of things that make it look like it's scientific, and we studied 400 people. And all that. I don't believe any of those things. But I went, the professor punished me for challenging him. I said, I don't believe that. I don't believe that Eve had three personalities. Peggy hates this story, but I love this story. She didn't have three personalities. She had 17. Because I'm imaginative. I can look at it right away and go, that's not science. He didn't actually prove that. He's just making a statement. She had this personality. This, it's just a game. And I'm a game player. I love games. And I can say, that's just a game. So I came up with 17, and so I never got anything less than an A or an A+. And now this guy's going to give me a C or something. So I went to the dean, and I said, Dean, this is wrong. What the professor did, he gave me a C, and I don't care about the grade. I care because I know exactly what the right answer is. I saw it in the book. I'm not stupid. I know what it is. And he said, close the door. And I was scared. He's just like, uh-oh, I'm going to get it. Close the door. That's not a good thing. and then as soon as he closed the door, he said, look, I agree with you. Why? He's the dean of the school. And he's the philosophy professor. So he said to me, what you need, I agree with you. What you need is to come to my classes in philosophy. Now, none of the young people in the school thought philosophy was the thing to do. Because it's like, it doesn't put bread on the table. What good is it? It's just a bunch of talk. But he believed that, and so I did. For the next 2 years of my schooling, I took all philosophy. And his was the Plato seminar, which you take as a senior. But I immediately took it, went right into it without any introduction or anything like that. Because he liked me. And anybody that likes me, I fall for that. I mean, let's go for that every time. This guy likes me, I'll do well in this class. But I also felt right at home in it because it goes nowhere. It's just more game playing. But it wasn't psychology or sociology, which were new. When I went to school in 1959, they made this decision. I went in 58. When I went to school, they made a decision that evolution is not a theory anymore. We're going to put it in the textbooks. And they had McGraw-Hill and all these textbooks company, McCormick Hall, Chicago. This is public knowledge. They changed. From now on, it'll present it as a fact. Creation is out. Antichrist evolution is in. And so I could see that. And I saw that they were saying psychology is a new thing, but it used to be a theory. Now it's going to be a truth, a fact. That means Jesus is out. The end of being born again and all. You don't need that. We can handle this thing on our own. Brave New World. And then I also saw that sociology, Dr. Sherston, I could tell these guys are new liars. They're the new antichrist, but they look learned and they put graphs and all this stuff to make science as our savior. Well, that's French Revolution stuff. I don't buy it. Because I was one thing I was completely objective, not subjective. I didn't read a thing and think, what do you think about that? What do you feel about that? How does that affect you? I didn't care about that at all. Just what's it say? And so when I read Christianity, I thought it was stupid. It made no sense. To me, it was foolish. When I read the Bible, a holy God loves unholy people. It didn't make any sense to me. I'm an unholy person. Why would he love me? I've never done anything decent. I didn't keep any Ten Commandments or anything. I don't want to, and I'm not going to, and that's it, period. And I don't want to be altruistic. I don't even know what that word means, but I don't want to be it. That means you care for others more than you care for yourself. No, I care for myself only. So I'm on the outside of this wonderful school that's going to teach you like TCU or SMU or one of these U's. They're going to teach you how to behave. I don't want to behave. I've never wanted to behave. I never have behaved, and I never will behave, period. So I'm determined to be rotten and wretched, and I don't care about it because I'm not afraid of hell, and I'm not wanting heaven. You can't sin up there. Hell would be better, but I don't like the fire part, you know, so I'm not going. I'm not going to do that. That's no interest to me. I just want to be great now, and I don't care about heaven. I don't care about future. I'm living today. I'm carpe diem in Latin. That means I live for the moment. I live for the day. So diem is day. So I live for the day. In other words, just enjoy yourself today. That's it. So I live from moment to moment. Are you like that a little bit? A little bit? Yeah. That means you have no morals, no personality, no nothing. You're worthless. Just like me. It's exactly the way I was. And so I loved it, though. I don't know if you enjoyed it. Did you enjoy it? Did you enjoy it? Or did you have a little guilt?
Yeah.
See, that's your problem. Too bad. You never really enjoyed it. You know, see, I did whatever I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, how I wanted to do it. I just had to figure out exactly what's the right moment. But when you meet Jesus Christ, I fell in love because I read what it said objectively. I never asked, did I like it or was it good? What is it true? Is this the truth? Is this thing? And I just read it. And it was good, 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 all for me. I could see God wanted nothing from me, no sacrifice, no offering, no atonement, no saying you're sorry, no nothing. You didn't get saved because you said, I'm sorry. You didn't get said, it wasn't that. It was, did you read it and hear that God loves you and he wants to make the atonement for you to himself? He wanted to reconcile the world to himself through Christ Jesus. So all the hope was not in predestination. You're a bad guy. I knew I was. You're a good guy. You know, I didn't believe in that. But I knew this one's weird. This one's different. He puts it all in Jesus, not in some cosmic decision that he made before the world began. So I'm not a Presbyterian. I don't believe in that. It's nonsense. That's logic. This Calvin guy, even though he's a Christian, he's also a head man. Total head. Why? Because I was a total head guy. But I could see he was still Roman Catholic in his thinking. So he never got born again like Martin Luther. He never became a new man in Christ. Martin Luther, I could tell, was Catholic to the core. That's how he saw through it. If you do it, you find it. Just like my daughter would have figured out right away that she was loving someone that was no good. She would have discovered that, like Peggy did. Jim, do you love me? No. It's like, let's not waste time on this. No. So what do you want to do? I mean, it's like totally objective, totally cold, totally calculating, because that's who I was. It's like, well, if we went together for 5 years, you should have figured that out. But since you didn't, you're a fool. You're an idiot. I'm not going anywhere. You can go somewhere. So I didn't say all that, but that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. It's like, why are you asking? Can you handle the truth? Do you want to know? Since we're married, I'd rather not lie because you're my wife. But why do you want to know that? Are you trying to get me to be a God or a good person? The answer is no. I'm never going to be God. And I'm never going to give you hope or anything. I am no good. And by the way, Peg, it's in the Bible because I read the thing. And I used it. I had all the scriptures down, very good, that would all defend me. And so, well, you don't have any fruit. Well, you know, that's how fruit works. It's up to God. He's supposed to do it all. I guess he's a little slow. You better talk to him about that. Because if he isn't changing me from glory to glory, he's changing me. You know, if he isn't changing me, I guess it's his fault. It's not mine because I don't want to change. I'm staying the way I am. And I'm not even justifying it. I'm just saying I am wicked. So no hide. Now, why did I tell all that? I didn't tell that. I'm just trying to explain, oh, foolish Galatians. Oh, foolish, mindless Galatians. Every Christian needs to hear this. By the way, I'm not only not going to go away. The devil's tried to kill me many times. He can't do it because I think God has a sense of humor. Because I'm not dead yet. I'm not dead. I'm still alive. And I should be dead. And I would, if I were God, I would have done it. But I believe God has a sense of humor, and the best has been saved till the last. I believe that this gospel is going to go, not as a bunch of words, but as a reality Chair 6 is what we're after. So how many are at chair 6 already? How many are already chair 6? Good, David. All right. Chair 6 is not doable by us. It's only doable by faith in another, someone else. Faith means a promise made by somebody that I haven't yet seen the answer to. The promise isn't fulfilled yet. How many know that the world is not done yet? You have to have faith today that we win and they lose. I believe that America's days are not over. We're a divided nation today. Everybody can see it's all falling apart and all our values are gone and all the vision of the founders doesn't work and so on. I don't believe that. I believe we're the future. I believe that the future lies with us. And I believe that God has chosen us in this last day to bring in the beloved back, because he won't come until the bride is ready. The bride hath made herself ready. Unless the bride is ready, he won't come. But he does it all. He does it all. So it's easy. He provides everything for you. Everything is going our way. If you read that just objectively, don't read it subjectively. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, I don't know if I understand that. That's unnecessary. Don't do that. That's the sin right there. Who cares what you believe, what you think, what you want? Who cares what you've done? We only care about one thing. What has God said and what has God done? Period. So the Bible to me is not about you. It's about you knowing him. And he reveals himself. You can't get him to reveal himself, you know, tear him apart. You can't do it with your knowledge, with your will, with your emotions. You can't say, well, I don't know if I believe that. That is irrelevant. It's totally irrelevant. The only thing that's relevant is, what does it say? It says this: sinners die. The wages of sin, death. So if you sin, that's the law of sin and death. You sin, you die, period. So whether you go back this way or become a Christian for a while or go through part of the fire or whatever, that's irrelevant. The only question is, are you a sinner? And how does God look at it? Not how do you look at it? Well, I think I... No, it has nothing to do with think. Well, I don't know, I just feel... That doesn't have anything to do with feel. Doesn't have anything to do with want, wish. Well, I tried to be... It has nothing to do with that. That's all man, man, man. That's the sin right there, that you are a self. You are a self. The self has to die. So the only work of the Holy Spirit is to kill you. The only work of the Holy Spirit is to kill you. Cannot lead you if you're not dead to yourself. When he kills you, then it's easy for him to lead you about, because now you'll submit to anything he says because you trust him. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. All right. Who wants to be a Christian all the way? Oh, see, I got more customers that time. That was better. But the truth is, nobody can be chair 6 right now except by faith. You can only be there by faith. So David answered correctly if he did it by faith. We don't know, and I don't care. God knows. God reads the heart. So you could speak from the eschaton, from the end. You can speak from the eschaton and say, I am a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. Perfect. As long as you know that's what you're doing. You have to know you're doing. You can't just say it as a rhetoric thing, as some kind of a, you know, profession. It has to be a confession that comes out of your heart, because that scripture with the good news touches the heart. Nothing else will touch the heart. No law has ever touched any heart anywhere at any time. Anyone who's telling you something to do or not to do, your heart's not going to be in it. It never touches the heart. A little kid may say it. Okay, mommy, I just want to do what pleases you. But there's something else going on there. Because nobody wants to do what they're told. They don't want to stop doing it. They don't want to take, you know, do. They don't want to do what they're told. And they don't want to stop doing what they want to do. Every little kid back in his toy room, he does not want to come to supper or whatever. He wants to finish doing what he's doing. You kids, get in here right now. You know, they don't want to do it. There's no way you can pretend like they want to do it. Oh, mommy, oh, I was waiting for you to call. Just so happy to be here at the table. No, it's not like that. It's not going to happen. But why we make up illusions so that the world looks better than it is. No, leave the world what it is. It's no good. It's dark. The Bible talks of the world this way. It's evil. It doesn't say it's got a little bit of good in it, but we have to kind of improve it. No, I don't believe in that. That's because I read the book. I just read what it said. I never read it to get it. I never read it to understand it. I just simply wanted to see what did it say. Period. And faith cometh by reading, in this case, hearing. And so when I used to read it as a pagan, total pagan, I used to read it out loud. I would read it out loud so that it went into my eye, I'm reading it, and into my ear. And then even, you know, I wanted my whole being to listen to it, not to be anything. I didn't want it to affect me. I just wanted to see what it said. I could mock it even. It doesn't make any difference. I was getting it. And when I read it, I realized there's nothing bad here for me. That's what I got just from reading it objectively, not trying to get it, not hoping it would come alive. I didn't want it to come alive. I just wanted to read what it said. And look, I was actually looking for any flaws it might have in it that would say, ah, you see, it's not as good as you said. But I found everything was good in the Bible. Everything that was written there I knew was not written by Hegel, was not written by Kant, was not written by Napoleon, was not written by any human being. I knew that what the Bible said was the Holy Spirit moved men to write down God's words and acts. I believed it. But I didn't believe it at first. I tried to read it in such a way that it would come out bad so that I could ignore it. But I couldn't. And so one day, I believed. And I knew from that moment on, from that moment, I'm a Christian. That's it. I got to go all the way. I don't even know what all the way is. I don't need to even know it. I know enough to know it's probably not as wonderful as I think for my flesh. It may be the death of my flesh. I counted the cost. It took me 7 years to get to Texas. When I got here, I realized that the goat ropers and, you know, whatever else was down here, those are the ones I wanted to examine, look at, test, and listen to, the Pentecostals. I wanted all of it, the charismatics, all of it. I want to look at every one of them and see whether it speaks to my heart supernaturally, not me trying to get it, but just looking at it. Just look at it. God is God. And I know that. And I fell in love. And I've been happy ever since. I've never been unhappy. I'm not unhappy. Peggy can tell you, I'm never unhappy. I'm not unhappy. I'm happy, but I don't mean by happy grinning. I mean a joy deep in my heart that won't go away. So sin, I could sin, but I can't stay in it. I can sin, but I can't stay in it. The Holy Spirit will convict me. There's no way I can praise Him and then not convict me. So God dwells in the praises of His people, and that's where He convicts you. Not when you're down, not when you're down, but when you're listening to God's love, that kills the flesh. The love of God, the love of God, the goodness of God leads to true repentance, which is chair 5, not chair 2 or 3. Chair 3 is only to forgive you for your sin, to get you to chair 4. But to get to chair 5, you'd have to hear the goodness of God. That's the only way it comes. Just keep reading that Bible. I know some of you do read the Bible every day. Thank God. But you can read it and get nowhere. You can read it and get confused. I would just read it not subjectively. Gee, I hope I believe that. Don't read it that way. You'll never get anywhere. Because you're only interested in you. Who cares what your reaction is? Just read it for what it says. Barbara, am I right?
Yes, absolutely.
Totally. It's so beautiful, so powerful. All the power's in the Word. He created the world with the Word, and He creates the new creation with a Word. You got to read that book. You can't go, I meant to read it. That doesn't count. You got to read it. You got to meditate on it. You got to chew on it night and day. And you don't have to do it with sincerity or anything. Just do it. Just do it. It'll change your life. So we have a people that are completely ignorant today of what God's Word says. I know they're reading. A lot of people read it. They have Bible study fellowship and all that, and it's good. It's all good stuff. Fine. But that doesn't say anything. It's so good that you can't ho-hum as you walk out. It has to transform your life every single moment. And signs and wonders will follow. That's how you'll know that was God.
Hallelujah.
People will cry out. Sinners will repent on the spot. People that have never heard of Jesus, they just will immediately accept Jesus Christ. And they don't even know Him. But they'll only go to chair 4. They won't go on to chair 5 unless the whole thing is kept together as a package. So Christianity is not a one-time event. It's a lifelong process that begins easily enough. You can be born again in a moment, in a second. Something can be said in you right away. You take hope. But it'll go nowhere without the pastors being dead to this world and alive to God in Christ Jesus. All right. Clay, let's close in prayer.